We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back here. We were just talking about the Kane 17-9 win on Friday night over Virginia. Of course, one of the stories coming out was the change in field goal kicker. Turner Davidson, the third-string kicker, ends up making a field goal, a couple extra points. We find out he wins the competition in warm-ups over Bubba Bax, who it sounded like, after having coach on this morning, was spraying it everywhere on field goals before the game. So he kicked off. And then this guy we've never heard of. And by the way, a lot of guys on the team didn't know who he was either. So here's Don Bailey Jr. yesterday in the post game interviewing Turner Davidson.
I do have the gentleman that kicked. I know your name. Some of us do know who you are. All right, Joe, I have the gentleman who kicked the extra points, Turner Davidson. And Turner, first of all, how old are you?
21.
Okay. Yeah. Congratulations 21. On those kicks.
Thank you very much.
What was going through your mind when you trotted out through Hard Rock?
Don't miss.
Yeah. Perfect answer.
Yeah. Simple.
And you knew the second your foot hit the ball it was in, right?
Yeah. You can tell. Yeah, you can tell.
All right, so where are you from?
San Antonio, Texas.
How'd you end up at the University of Miami?
Hartley just recruited me out of there. It's the best school they recruited me.
There you go. And how long have you been thinking about a night like tonight?
Well, I didn't know I was a starting kicker until after the stretching. I was, whoa, all right, it's cool.
You know that was the plan, right?
I don't know.
That was the plan.
Hopefully.
Parents watching tonight, people, family watching, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
They had no idea either, did they?
None. They were shocked. They were just as shocked as I was. It's crazy.
Pretty special deal.
Oh, it's incredible. I can't get. It was incredible.
Something you can get used to, though.
Yeah, I can. Definitely something I can get used to.
All right. So you make the kick, and in all seriousness, you just lined up and did. It was practice. That's what they say about kickers. It's always practice, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing you've done a million times out on the practice field. You just go do it again.
How many years did you kick in high school?
All four.
All four?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What was the, so now we're going to get into it. What's your longest?
My longest?
In a game.
In a game?
Yeah.
I want to say it was 43.
43? Okay. That. All right. And how consistent were you in high school? Were you automatic?
I like to think I was.
Yeah.
I like to think so.
All right. Well, listen, you got a lot to enjoy tonight. Congratulations. I guess dreams do come true, don't they?
Sometimes they do, yeah.
With a lot of hard work.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We'll keep kicking them through the uprights, my man.
You got it.
That was radio gold.
That
was live Hollywood in the post game?
Yeah, that was in the locker room after the game, and you know, I was doing a post game. I played it twice during the post game.
I want to play it every 7 minutes good. On the show today. That was unbelievable.
That is. To hear that guy talking.
Sounds like a 10-year-old.
And he did sound like he's about 12 or 13
right.
years old. And for San Antonio, I don't know if that's personality. Didn't expect to get interviewed for the first time, probably ever.
Right.
Probably never happened in high school at San Antonio. Anyway, Don Bailey Jr. made the best of it.
DJ, well done.
Different dude. Yeah. Different dude, man. But hey. How cool is that? National TV, Friday night, and ends up kicking a short field goal, a couple extra points, wins the competition, finds out while he's stretching.
Unbelievable.
Hey.
Texts are coming in. Who was that? That's your kicker.
Turner Davidson.
Yeah.
And then some of the guys on the team said, honestly, I didn't know who the dude was. Did not have any idea until we saw him out there kicking and went, hey, that's not Bubba.
I mean, you played on a couple different teams, high school, college, pro, the whole deal. Did you know if there was a backup kicker on any of those teams?
No, you know what?
Like, would you have known if a backup kicker came out and started kicking and you're like, who the hell is that?
So I had a weird one because the two kickers that I had at Cal ended up being really good NFL kickers. A guy named Jim Breach, who kicked for like 20 years for Cincinnati, and a guy named Mick Luckhurst. Mick Luckhurst, an English guy, came over, was a rugby player, came over and then went on to kick for the Atlanta Falcons for a long time and was really good. These guys were really good. And then I get to the Dolphins, and there's a guy named Uwe von Schaman.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. And so we had good kickers, man. Good group of kickers. That's a weird one. Yeah, honestly, we had a lot of problems at Cal, but one was not the kick. Like, the kicker was always like, damn, everybody's here to see our kicker. We had good kickers, but this thing that they're going through, I will tell you, they got a guy. If the Shaman Amadonic kicker still is coming to the U, he's really good.
If you're a kicker right now, you want to come to the U, right?
Well, they got a commitment from a guy that I was talking to some of the other high school kickers. Oh, no, the guy Shamanod's a little different.
He's
a little different than the rest of us. So.
All right, real quick, I got to read you some of these texts.
Yeah,
what do you got coming in here? 56022 if you want to join us on the text line. Again, Kane's new kicker, 21-year-old sophomore, sounds like we interrupted a game of Magic the Gathering or Dungeons & Dragons or Pokemon when he did this interview Saturday. But you know what? It's good. It's all good. Keep kicking PATs, and I'll contribute to his next Pokemon round. Go Canes. That's from Justin Atlanta. Another one. Who is that? Another one. Turner Davidson and Bubba Baxter are now known as Tuner and Hooch. Turner and Hooch. Was that an audio of a 10-year-old? Why are you guys playing that? The kicker's laugh was hilarious. Forget the Alamo. That's it. Forget the Alamo. I thought that was real for a second. Forget the Alamo. Remember Tyler Davidson. That kicker interview was awesome. Does a kicker have a red head? He sounds like Woody Woodpecker. Anyone's better than Bubba. They finally listened. Thank God. This is what just flew in here. Happy for the kicker, but that interview didn't make me feel very confident about him. Kane's kickers are nutcases.
He's a loose guy. No. I agree now. Listen, the kicker's got a little different makeup to him. So we had the Mick Luckhurst guy was a rugby guy, which meant they drink a lot. Because the rugby parties, for anybody that's ever been around rugby, the rugby parties afterward, for some reason, none of the good-looking girls at Berkeley wanted to go after a football game because we weren't very good. But the rugby parties, all the sorority, it looked like somebody put up a sign, all sorority, good-looking sorority girls go to the rugby party because they were all there. So Mick Luckhurst was crazy. And he was one of the first guys that jumped never would make curfew. And so they let it go because he was so good a kicker.
Wow, that's good.
But he was nuts. So they used to say, so my last year, they're going like, hey, somebody's got to keep an eye on Luckhurst. We stayed at the Berkeley Marina, but he'd go up to all the Friday night parties at Berkeley. We're nuts. And they're going, somebody's got to keep him in tonight. I mean, nobody wants him hung over in the morning and trying to find him. He didn't get how big the whole thing was. And so we had guys literally. Because back then, the coaches were getting mad. These coaches had to coach all week, and then they're like, somebody's got to stay out in front of the room because they know he's going to take off. They couldn't. They talked to him, and as soon as you let him go, he was going to fraternity parties. He loved them. He goes, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen over here, man, is these parties. And he was knocking them out two at a time, if you know what I mean. Yeah, so that's the kicker's a little different makeup.
But did we finally, and it took a long time, did we finally find a laugh that replaced the Kawhi Leonard laugh?
Oh, yeah, this guy.
Like this guy's laugh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, give that to me again. Yeah. Oh, my God, we did. We found it. Awesome. That's amazing. What a great story.
Pretty good stuff, man. You know what? The fact he is a little different, and I'm guessing he's a field goal kicker this week.
He's got to be, right?
I mean, he's going to keep open competition.
Someone asked if that was Goldie. It was not Goldie.
No, don't leave. Goldie's got a game at 1 o'clock today. Leave
he
Goldie
is getting
alone.
Ready.
Panthers playing it.
We found a laugh, Joe. That's it.
That's a little different. There's no question about it. We got to go to break here. We got more stuff. Cam's going to join us from ESPN. He was in the locker room yesterday. We'll talk to him about everything going on, including a couple of people that were a little fired up in the locker room yesterday about losing the game. So we'll jump on all that stuff. A lot of stuff to get to. 56022 if you want to join us.
All right, join Hawk and Crowder Thursday, October 17th, this Thursday, as they broadcast live 2 to 6 p.m. at Offerdahl's Off the Grill on Las Olas Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale, where you can enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner off the grill, and a chance to win VIP tickets to the Walgreens Gridiron Grill-Off. That's coming up as well this Thursday, live broadcast 2 to 6 p.m. with Hawk and Crowder at Offerdahl's Off the Grill on Las Olas Boulevard.
All right, everybody's got an opinion on this quarterback thing, from even Josh Rosen and how bad he was and everything, which, by the way, I would say to Omar and everybody else, not to pick on Omar, but, like, Omar, I'd like to see your ass out there for that first quarter and a half and see how you'd stand up when you finally had time to throw the way he got hit. He got hit. It wouldn't have mattered who was back there. You were going to grab the ball, look to throw, and then duck, because that's what it looked like to start that game. That was the first thing. So Josh Rosen, listen, then when he had a chance, he didn't play well. I totally agree. Like the decision to change the quarterback. But this goes the other part for the, tank. So I'm going to say blow for Joe from now on.
Blow for Joe. I like it.
I'm not tanking for Tua. Just something new. Just to get something fresh out there for the Joe Burrow show. I don't know. Can I do a Mel Kiper Jr.?
Yes, I would like
that. Just an early Mel Kiper.
I would like that
right now. Now that we're on the ESPN station.
Right.
All right. So my Mel Kiper Jr., my best one, Joe Burrow, is he a top five pick in the draft?
I think he is now. He ends the season hot. He is.
I started to say top 10, but I went, put it out there a little bit, Joe. Top five pick in the draft.
Well, you say it every week.
Now, he might end up being a third quarterback.
But no, he might.
I think all three quarterbacks are going to go in the top 15 picks.
I think
that's my early Mel Kiper Jr.
I like
Jr.
that.
Before they get to all the tough games and who's healthy and all that stuff. That
so your top three, Tua, Burrow, and Herbert, correct? Is that your top three?
Yeah.
Okay.
But everybody tells me Herbert's upside is, somebody that does it for a living told me his upside is still pretty amazing.
Okay.
I don't want upside.
I need something now.
I need it now. I used to hear that about Tannehill's upside.
Oh, like,
hey, the more he plays, he's going to get.
That's a Titans problem, though.
So,
all right. So, how about this? You say those three in the top 15. I say those three in the top 10. There's too many teams now that need a quarterback.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to get him quick. If Tua does go one overall, if the Dolphins pick him one overall, Burrow is going to go two, three, or four.
We're not going to be whiny. We have a bunch of whiners if for some reason Burrow goes first and shocks everybody.
Yes, you will.
Does a last second Baker Mayfield and jumps ahead.
You will. You will 100% get people going, Tua is a guy that's a generational quarterback.
Then,
why don't we take him?
Yeah, and then the other picks should look something like offensive line. I know you need a pass rusher, but offensive line.
Yep.
There's got to be. You got 3 1s, 2 2s, and 2 3s. And, of course, this is talk usually that would start in about 3 months from now.
Well,
but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's where we are. I'm going to take one in the first, one in the second.
And one in the third?
I don't know.
Offensive line?
I started to say three guys, but that would be a pig on the offensive line.
No.
But you got to take one, like take one in the first and maybe one with the second pick. Or the first, second, your second round pick, first overall in the second round. That's how, of your first four picks, two have to be offensive linemen, don't they?
Yes, I have.
I don't want to hear about best player in here. Don't hit me with that best player stuff, man.
Joe, how did that offensive line look yesterday? How much help do you need of that?
It looked like
line?
They hadn't played together. Which, by the way, in fairness, again, your left tackle becomes your right tackle again. You're trying every combination possible. And the truth be known, Jesse Davis is best at guard.
Okay, so he needs to stay there.
And he's asked to do it. It's not his fault. He's been asked to play three different positions here, which nobody else in the league. This is the situation you're in. Jesse, go get him. Get him there. Get him here. Get him everywhere. So, anyway, 56022, what do you got coming in this morning?
Blow for Joe is taken. It was actually something in the adult film industry years ago. Thanks for that. Appreciate that.
Can you say blow for Joe?
You could say blow for Joe. I mean,
just want to make sure
we could say tank for Tua. That's kind of what we're doing there. We got to get that receiver Lamb also. I guess that's one of Burrow's guys there.
There's a lot of There's a lot of good receivers. Oklahoma's got good receivers. Right, right. Texas got a there's good receivers. Calm down on receivers, everybody.
Yeah. Just
Judy,
one of those Alabama
calm
guys.
Down. Calm down. There's I just started thinking about all the good ones I saw. There are five or six of them over the weekend.
Well, you draft two of them, you might
calm
as well
down.
Try to get one of his receivers, too.
Not right away, though.
No, second round.
You're going to get some Someone's big bodies. Yeah. And we do need a badass pass rusher. Just one guy to line up. And there he goes. Oh, my God. They can't block him. One of those guys.
Let's see what else. Someone says, blow for Joe. Sounds like your motto during the 80s. No, we're not talking about cocaine cowboys. Stop that. Stop.
It was
See what happens when you do that?
No, that's mean, though. Somebody bring that up.
Someone said, Burrow came out of nowhere. I'm not buying it. No, thank you. Get two or die trying. Okay. Burrow reminds me a lot of golf. He throws great crossing routes if he has the room, but in the NFL, he won't be able to go four wide and pick you apart. Two is the guy. Everyone else is a step down. All right. Burrow might be better than Tua. These are all coming in back to back to back. Loved Burrow. Get him over Tua. How about languishing for Lawrence? Can we wait? No.
Look at it. He's not putting up big numbers, but he still makes. I watched about half the game. He still makes throws. He threw one out there in a real small spot. He can get it from A to B. He's got touch. It's so funny. His numbers aren't even close to last year. Not even close. And I'm still like everybody else, like, man, he's got something. So he didn't even throw for that many yards. They got a good defense. They run it. They could have scored again on Florida State just now.
Bleep Tua, he's overrated. Forget about Tua. Someone get Drake new hands. It was an interesting play.
How'd you go from Tua to Drake new hands?
This is what happened. This is what happens on the text line. Our O-line could be set before the draft with free agency, Joe. What about that?
I don't think there's going
to
be a lot out there. There's a shortage of offensive linemen.
Yeah.
There's a shortage of offensive linemen. I would much rather develop our own guys. Now, you're right. With all that money, there's definitely going to be somebody's coming in. I agree.
I'm about to block this texter. Says, please bring back Ryan Tannehill. He's a free agent next year. You're blocked.
That's just not – you can't have him. He doesn't want to come back. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. If he doesn't start next year at Tennessee, which
he might.
He's going to be the backup quarterback there, one or the other.
Someone says Jake Fromm, Jordan Love, Jacob Eason, many options.
Well, Fromm, if you're going week to week, if you're on that roller coaster week to week, this was not Fromm's best game. But Fromm doesn't have the weapons he's had in the past either.
Yep.
But nobody wants to hear about that.
No, of course not.
Nobody wants to hear who's playing – who's got great weapons? Like, if we were to rank, not quarterbacks, but who's got the most around them? Offensive line, receivers, and running backs.
It's Tua. Tua's one.
Tua's one.
Yeah, he's one. It's not even close.
Alabama got some weapons, too. LSU does.
They do. You're right.
LSU's got a couple receivers, too. Not as many as Alabama, but they got some horses.
I think that Gesicki's looking much better. What do you think, Joe?
Yep. See that those routes running down the middle of the field? I'm not taking a shot. Gase didn't do that last year. He ran those stupid flat routes nonstop. Or he flexed them out and had them run wide where they used to block him against the sideline, you know, kind of block him out. I like this, the deep crossing routes where he can just run and go. He still needs to do more than just take off and run. I would love to talk to that kid about trying to break guys down and route run a little bit more, but he can go up and get it. You know, he went up between two guys. You're
going
to do
catch.
That, but his route running's got to get better, but it was good to see him make a few plays yesterday.
What are the chances that right before the two-point play, this is very, very good, that Flores pulled Drake aside and said, give me a high five, he had Vaseline all over his hands. Well done, sir.
Yeah, that's good. That was creative on the sideline.
Guys, is Tua really that guy? He looks kind of small for an NFL quarterback.
I don't care about size.
Me either.
We're done with size.
You see these guys in the NFL?
You know what? It used to be the black quarterback thing when I first started. Stop with that, and now stop with quarterbacks that are a little under 6 feet tall. Stop it. We're done with both those. Those are done. Those are dead topics. No more.
Give me Joe Burrow. Another one just came in. Another one says, I think Deshaun Watson may be better than Patrick Mahomes. He's got more urgency to win. That was a great game yesterday. Deshaun Watson has put his name right up there.
Whew, man.
He is good.
There's another guy that's made the big jump. Mahomes just not doing it at the same level, but Mahomes still really special. But I agree. Watson is really good.
Yep. Tua's going to fail wherever he goes. All right, perfect. I think it's the same guy who hates Tua, just hates him. Dolphins should draft Joe Burrow. The kid's a star in the making. People are so stupid wanting the third or fourth best quarterback in the draft. I've been living that nightmare 12 years with Beck, Henny, and Tannehill. Give me the best damn quarterback and let's start over. If we get the third or fourth best option at quarterback in this draft, I am done with the fence.
No. Well, let me ask you this. How do you know which guy's the best?
That's the problem.
I mean, it's fine. It's fine. And most likely, by the way, don't worry, Dolphins going to have the top pick. They're looking really good. They're trending towards the top pick right now, especially with the Jets getting Darnold back. They're trending towards having that first overall pick. I wouldn't worry about, like, and here, how do you know? How do we know 2 years from now or 3 years from now which of those three guys, Herbert, Tua, or Burrow's going to be the best? How do you know? And by the way, a lot of it's going to do with the system. A lot of it's going to do with are you in a quarterback-friendly system with a good offensive line around you and a good system that allows you to play at a high level.
Lamar Jackson having a great season. Wish we had a guy like that to draft. Well, we did have a chance.
But let me tell you something. Nothing against Lamar Jackson, but they put in, and that's brilliant coaching, by the way. Baltimore has put in a system for him to have great success. He's about ready. He's going to shatter. He might go for 1,000 yards rushing this year if he stays healthy.
He might, you're right.
But with that is going to come a lot of hits. And sooner or later, one of those really good tacklers
is going to hit him hard.
He's going to hit him. He won't see him. They're going to hit him late.
The consensus number one pick, I mean, if 90% of the scouts think Tua is the best, I just want him. Just like Luck and Murray and all that. Whoever the consensus number one guy is, don't just go with that. That's what the guy was trying to say. Someone also said Tua is Mariota 2.0. Only knock on Tua is that Omar Kelly likes him.
Chris Greer's got more support than he's ever had, and I call it fresh support, which I think's needed. We're getting stale with certain guys staying around. He's got some guys around him that I think Chris, his ego will not get in the way. Well, he'll listen and go with the best guy. And they need to hit. This needs to be the guy that we don't talk about quarterbacks for more than a decade after this draft. We need to find out. Get it. Get the information in. And if we don't, and you miss on them, guys are all gone.
Well, that's funny you said that. We need way more than a quarterback, and the guy who just picked Harris with the number one pick, we're in big trouble.
He did. He whiffed on that. That's his baby.
Yep.
That belongs to him. Boy, they talk about quiet yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny you said that. You know, usually during the game we talk about, at some point, that was a quiet game by Charles Harris yesterday. Wow. I forgot. Isn't that funny?
That's bad.
When you go, you look at the thing, go, did he play?
Did he look even sniff the sheet?
Needham
at the end
made
of the
some
game,
great
yeah.
plays. 40 was yeah. in on some plays yesterday. They had some guys in the secondary actually bat some balls away yesterday and make some plays. And you're going, wow, the one name I didn't hear yesterday. That one.
Someone said, I just want to get to the level of San Francisco. Three top drafts on the D-line and all the guys are good.
Here's a problem. That's not the norm, is it? To have three defensive linemen become first-round picks?
Mm-mm. And look at their depth chart. And then Bosa the other thing and Solomon is, Thomas aren't even starters on the depth chart.
We got a few teams that have three offensive linemen. So I'd ask everybody, would you rather load up?
O-line
we already got one defensive lineman that's going to be around for a long time, Wilkins. So would you want two defensive ends, a first round? I don't think you can do it.
No, you take one, really take an offensive expensive. Lineman and a quarterback.
Or would you rather have three offensive linemen in the first round down the road?
Yeah.
You got a lot of picks in next two.
You do.
I don't think they have to all be ones, but damn.
You got to have top guys in there play right away. You got to. You have to.
Two of the top four picks in this draft, or top five for sure. That's the other second-round pick. Those guys, we got to have two offensive linemen. I don't care if it's a center, guard, tackle, guard. You need to find some big time that can play day one, where you line them up day one. Well, we've done that now. We put guys when we draft them, put them in day one. You're it. Not a week, not 2 weeks, not 3 weeks in. First day, say hello to everybody during minicamp. Now go line up. You're in there, the first group. Coach, I don't know what I'm doing. Don't worry. You will. You'll have a lot of time. Get in there. Start asking questions the guy you're playing next to.
How did Dieter play? Someone was asking.
Terrible.
Dieter's grade yesterday, yeah.
He got smoked on up the middle on a couple of plays, one-on-one. Not good. Not good. He said he's got to work on his pass protection. It was not good. Not good. He's got to get – we're not giving up. He's just got to get better.
Two straight texts, by the way. Offensive line, draft 3-0 lineman.
We know Bo always talks about this, Kim Bocamper. He says, you know, everybody bitches when we take an offensive line. It's not sexy. It's not sexy at the top. It's not. You're going, oh, no, we got to get that receiver. And then you're going, I'm watching this offensive line. We got to get some offensive line.
Need some help.
The coach deserves it, if nothing else. The coach.
The quarterback.
Putting these guys, and the quarterback, definitely.
You're going to draft Tua and put him behind That's this crazy. Offensive line. He's going
to
get killed.
We got to go to break here. We are super late. We've got a lot more stuff. We're going to have Manny Diaz join us coming up in the 9 o'clock. We cut into Cam's time, which I really screwed up here. We'll go to a quick break, and we'll get back in just a second. But first.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Cameron Wolf from ESPN. He's covering the Dolphins. And he was in the locker room yesterday. Cameron, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good, Joe, Zach. How you guys doing?
Cam, we're doing great. Let's jump right into it here. Two-point conversion or go for one? What do you do?
Oh, scare money don't make no money. Definitely got to go for two. I think that was a good choice by them. I mean, obviously they didn't get it, but I thought that was the right move 100%.
That looked a little bit like the old two-point conversion I saw a couple years ago in the Super Bowl. New England ran against the Falcons. Looked a little bit like that late one when they were wiped out after they'd run about 200 plays in the game. Atlanta was wiped out.
Yeah. You try to throw it out to one of the playmakers and hope you get somebody to miss, make somebody miss a couple times and get in the end zone. But, yeah, they had three or four dudes around there. It looked like that didn't have a chance.
Did I see Kenyon Drake after the game, or did I hear him after the game talk about the fact that that play all week long was in practice, but it was Mark Walton that was kind of, you know, the one that was taking all those plays and not him? Isn't that weird? Or what happened with Walton in that at the end of the game, where they just decide we're just going to try this play but not try it with the guy we practiced with all week?
Yeah, I'm going to be frank. I didn't love, like, Kenyon Drake going there. I mean, I get you can put that out there, but to me it kind of seems like an excuse. You know, from his end. But, yeah, no, I think it was Mark Walton who was running that play all week, and they probably decided that they wanted Kenyon Drake to have that chance to get in, given, you know, his playmaking ability, which I don't mind that decision because Kenyon Drake has shown, you know, an ability to make some of those big plays lately. But, yeah, you got to catch the ball and see what happens. And I guess we'll never really see what would have happened because he didn't catch it.
How much are you throwing on Rosen, who didn't have a great game, but he got knocked around? You have to admit, if our eyes watch that same game yesterday, that's about as much as a quarterback can get hit in the first 12 to 15 plays.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the O-line did him zero favors. I think he, like you mentioned, I think he was hit half of his dropbacks that first quarter of the game at the very least. So, yeah, it's tough for him, but, I mean, like at some point you've got to evaluate the quarterback for the quarterback. You know, it's easy to kind of make excuses because the offensive line is probably the worst in the league and receivers are dropping passes. All that's true, but at some point you got to evaluate the quarterback. And, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick did lead them to two touchdown drives after he came in. You know, they went up tempo, but he still did a little bit there. So not a great game for Josh, and, you know, he's still going to get a chance to recover. But it's looking less and less likely that he's got a real chance to be the guy long term, as you saw Sunday.
Cam, you're being nice. He got no shot to be the future pick. Yeah. That decision was made. Yeah. I think the coaching staff will never say it. That decision has been made a long time ago. Cam, do you ever get there early and watch Fitzpatrick come out on the field and watch the sheep called his teammates come around him? I never see anything like it.
He's one of the guys. That's one of the things that's fun about Fitzpatrick. Is that, you know, usually quarterbacks are pretty separate, and you know this, Joe, but, you know, quarterbacks have their different way about them, and, you know, they're kind of a little secluded just because of the way their position is. But Fitzpatrick likes to be there. I see him in the lunchroom eating with the tight ends on a regular basis. Sometimes he'll eat with the defensive players. They'll hang around the guys and joke with them. He just wants to be one of the guys. And I think the guys see that and appreciate it. So, yeah, you see them, you know, rallying around him. I talked to guys in the locker room, and they said, you know, they said as soon as he got in the huddle, their confidence increased. And it wasn't a shot at Rosen. It's just, you know, you get Fitzpatrick in there, and you know, hey, maybe there's some magic that's going to happen. You know his history, the fact that he can make it, you know, turn around in a second. So, yeah, he has a special vibe around him, and I think the players.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Players feel it.
Do you notice more energy or more anything when Fitzpatrick goes in there, or when he did yesterday or earlier in the season when they used to go to, you know, Rosen at the end of the game? Do you notice like a difference when Fitzpatrick's in there against Rosen?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because their backup quarterback is always the favorite of fans and players because he's something different than what they've had. So I think anytime the backup quarterback comes in, you get extra energy. But for Fitzpatrick, yeah, I think he's a lot looser than maybe Josh Rosen. So maybe that's the element that he comes in with, especially when they're down two touchdowns, they're playing with house money. It seems like he brings a loose energy, and that's what the players connect with. So, yeah, when he comes in there, they're a little bit freer. They're a little bit, you know, willing to play like kids rather than, you know, a team that's getting beat every week.
All right. Were you all you and your media buddies up there, were you guys kind of, come on, straight up, you're marching down to tie that game up or win it. What was the mood up there of the guys? Was it drop it, miss it, because we want to go 0-6? Come on, what was it, man?
It's funny. I'm actually a little different than the rest of the guys. The rest of the guys, I think, were really sweating. I talked to them after it. They were worried that that Fitzpatrick was going to mess up the tank. But I was being a little bit of contrarian. I kind of wanted to see a win. I want to see.
That's why you and I get along, man. That's why we hang out, man.
I wanted to see something different. I wanted to see the players in the locker room, how they reacted after the win. So I didn't get my wish. So I was a little bummed. But I think the rest of the guys were happy that the tank got preserved.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting media.
Gonna screw up the whole draft if we don't get them. Right. If we don't like, oh, it's everybody's already decided we're not halfway through the season. Gonna screw up the whole draft.
Oh, I mean, Washington would have the, you know, still 0-6 at this point. Right. So yeah,
I renamed Barry Jackson Tank. That's
tank
his
tank.
New name.
I like that.
Because if it gets a little scary, he's going to call the owner to tank it. Yeah,
we need extra tanking.
That's called tank
yesterday. I thought that happened anyway yesterday with Xavien Howard. What happened with him before the game and this last couple days where he wasn't going to play?
Yeah, I mean, they're calling it knee soreness. He said, you know, his knee was bothering him a little bit. I mean, we'll never truly know whether he could have, you know, pushed to go. And if this game mattered, I think that he probably would have gave a better effort. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I was worried when we came in because there's 11 guys questionable out coming out of the bye week, and that just seemed fishy to me, you know. 11 guys questionable, a lot of these guys practiced all week. So I was wondering how many guys would play, and most of them actually did play. But Xavien not playing, I think probably if he plays, in my opinion, they win that game because, you know, Terry McLaurin had a field day, and I think Xavien stops at least one of those touchdown passes from happening. So, you know, we'll see if it's something that was just a one-game thing. You do get a little worried when you hear knee for Xavien Howard because he's had a couple of knee issues in the past. So, you know, you wonder if the team would even play with something like that. So I'm going to hold them at face for now and say that he does have a legitimate knee injury, you know, knee soreness, and they were just being careful. But it was a little peculiar that, you know, he practiced all week and he wasn't able to go.
I'll tell you one thing. Whoever those guys were on defense, man, they played their ass off. Eric Rowe's getting better where we don't even talk about him. He's really gotten comfortable. And then Ken Webster got stuck in a bad situation. Go get him, kid, your first start. And, oh, by the way, when they're not running the ball, they're going to go play action and try to get you one-on-one. against McLaurin, right? That's what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Terry had a really good game with touchdowns, but he didn't go off. Like, he didn't have 10 catches. So, you know, the DBs held up there. I saw Bobby McCain playing his butt off. I know he's, you know, battling with a hamstring and a shoulder, and he looked like he was playing for the Super Bowl out there. And, you know, I mean, that was my biggest, like, one of my biggest takeaways for the game is we always talk about the tank, and the tank jokes are funny and all this. But, like, the players and coaches, in my opinion, showed that, hey, we're still trying to win this game. Like, you know, regardless of what the organization is doing, it's important for us to win. And I thought it was important for them, you know, to see that fight in their teammates and fighting each other. And although, there, you know, there's no moral victories in football, I walked in that locker room and I could see guys, like, looking at each other and feeling a little bit more brotherhood that, hey, we are all in this together. We're all still fighting. And, you know, this sucks, but we're not giving up yet.
Hey, by the way, real quickly, Bobby McCain, did he get beat or was that a broken coverage? He was kind of jammed and then let him go on the one touchdown like he thought he had help. Did they say anything? That was that a breakdown or what? Did they say what happened on that play?
Yeah, I'll have to ask.
I know there's a lot of different
that play.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think I thought when I saw it live, I thought they were in zone coverage. And it looked like somebody's responsibility is broken. So I'm not sure if it was Bobby.
Oh, it looked like that to me.
Blame him without looking. Yeah, but it could be. It could be.
How about real quickly, Mark Walton playing so much? That surprised me to start the game. Did that surprise you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I felt that he was going to overtake Kalen Ballage as the number two guy, but I was surprised that he got the start. And, you know, I talked to him in the locker room, and he said he felt like he always could do this. And he said, you know, back to the UM days, I was just waiting for my opportunity, and, you know, I feel like I can really do a lot for this team in the running game and the receiving game. So, yeah, I think, you know, now it's a three-man backfield, and I think they're going to give Mark Walton a chance to prove that he can be, you know, the guy. So, you know, King and Dre's got another guy to worry about back there. Right. So I thought he played well, Mark Walton did, and, yeah, I'd like to see more of him.
Hey, by the way, when you're with all your media buddies over there, your print media guys, a fraternity over there, tell them, hey, blow for Joe ain't a bad way to go to give that Tua tank for Tua rest. You saw Joe Burrow throw the ball. Come on, man. Give him something else to write about, something fresh, man.
Hey, Devon Godchild's in the locker room trying to make his case for Joe Burrow
right.
Being better than Tua.
That's why Godchild's my man right there.
But I'm listening.
Anything can happen. By the way, early line came out this week. Bills by 16.5 this weekend coming up.
Ooh.
Surprising. That's really high.
Hell, it could be at 16.5 the last 5 years when we go up
right.
there.
It's just
surprising.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Last year we didn't even go up there. There was nobody on that plane that went up there.
No one came back.
No.
That's it.
And nobody came back. The ones that did got scolded from daddy.
Cameron, we'll bug you again soon. Thanks for your time as always.
All right, thanks,
Jeff. Thanks, right, Cameron Wolf from ESPN talking about the Miami Dolphins and yesterday's game and going forward and blow for Burrow or blow for Joe, whatever Joe's got.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.